for average people, for Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with JP Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
You can't admit when you are just making stuff up to fit your stupid narrative. Is so dense and looking.
No, I'm not. You're dense.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's JP Shadrick.
Welcome in, Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville. We are in the process of connecting. Are you on?
I guess Joe decided
not
to be on.
Hey, you have arrived, Tony. Thank you. We're in the process of connecting with Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale. Hurricane Irma issues.
Are we really blaming
south.
Irma?
We are. I just did. It's getting blamed for everything else. Went out that too. It is what it is. We'll get to Pete coming up and our thoughts about yesterday's game, mainly your guys' thoughts about yesterday's game and a tough loss to Tennessee. What to do on offense if you can't run. What to do on defense if you have a short field all day. And we'll take some calls in the second hour. 355-NFL-1, the number, 355-6351. We'll get the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. That has become, I don't know if it's tradition, it's kind of a strong word for that, and only doing it 2 or 3 weeks and a couple of weeks ago. We'll get to that again coming up a little bit later tonight. And we'll go around the National Football League, recap some of the games that happened on Sunday, and preview tonight. And you're tweeting on your phone as we talk, Tony.
I'm a social media guy.
You are?
Yeah.
You are.
Well, aren't we doing the Twitter question?
Well, yes, yes. Are you putting it out there?
Not yet.
Okay, that's great. So let's start off. What was that yesterday?
Which half?
Great point. First half, it looked like a team hanging with a team that, hey, they're both in the AFC South. They both know each other.
Division rivals.
Three division rivals. Punts, three and outs, turnovers, field goals. Here we go. 6-3 at halftime. And then turnovers in the second half. Penalties in bad situations put them behind the chains on offense. They had to abandon the run game. The defense set up on short fields on the other end, and they finally lost it. So all that combined in the second half turned into, what, six straight scoring drives by the Titans at one point?
Well, it was, you know, you sit there at halftime, JP, and it's 6-3, and you think, you know, at worst we should be tied, and if we don't have the turnovers, you know, some bad penalties, maybe we have a lead, but we're playing okay. And it's anyone's game when we get the ball. And we said it coming out on the broadcast at halftime, and you feel pretty good about yourself. And you start that drive, and the interception.
Bad, yeah.
It was a bad throw behind Marquise Lee. But the defense holds, and it's 9-6. You're like, all right.
It's a one-score game. Let's go.
Big deal. I mean, it's not a big deal. But yes. Here's the thing. You could feel some energy leave, I felt like. I don't even know if the team, but in the stands, almost like here we go again kind of attitude. And then you go three and out and end up going backwards, punt, bad special teams play, long return, and another short field. And this time, two plays later, they scored. And I think at that point, the defense, which wants to be elite, has the ability to be elite, has some great players, and had played very good up to that point. I don't want to ever say, you know, quit. But, boy, the energy left, and it was not the same defense from that point on. And then offensively, you know, and we'll talk about this, but the big concern we've had ever since we've talked about how they want to play and the quarterback struggles and you know, not having a lot of confidence to allow Blake to open it up, you know, what do you do when you get behind?
That's right. That's a problem.
You know, and watching the tape, Tennessee did exactly what I thought they'd do. They stacked a box and played man outside. And if you're going to get man outside all day, you got to win outside. And you got to take advantage of that. And they were not able to because not a lot of separation, not a lot of winning, not a lot of opportunities, not a lot of calls that allowed that. And the quarterback wasn't great again.
Let's go to the phone line and welcome in our good friend, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco joins us from down in South Florida. What do you make of all that, Pete?
Look, I think Tony's spot on with it. A couple things. I thought they quit. I don't, you know, look, the second half was a different team when they fell behind. I thought they, and Tony said it nicely, but they, the energy level went away. That's another way of saying in brutal fashion that they quit. And it clearly, to me, they did. I went back and rewatched the game again today. The energy level, like Tony said, wasn't there. But also, I mean, I'm gonna be mean about it. They quit. And in the second half, it was just like that defense said, you know what, we're not getting anything from our offense. We're not going to play. And they didn't. As far as Bortles, you can't succeed in this league running on second and 20. You can't succeed in this league. I think they ran on third and 20 or something, too. I mean, it's ridiculous from my standpoint that you're playing the game that way. And here's the other thing, Tony. They went in at halftime happy. They were feeling darn good about themselves. They look up the scoreboard. It's 6-3. They feel, if you go in the half and you're trailing 6-3 and you're happy about your team, then you're playing the game the wrong way.
Well, third and 20, there's no good plays. You can't get in that situation. The bigger concern is, as far as the throwing and how you run this offense is, if teams are going to stack the box, you can only – I mean, you can run in there so much.
You can bang your head against the wall all day. But,
you have to have a plan to win outside.
That's right.
And take advantage. I mean, you think about, you know, a team that you'd compare this to, you know, kind of this style. I mean, think about Seattle when Russell Wilson was a young player. They'd play defense. They'd run Marshawn Lynch. But Pete will tell you as well as anybody, while there wasn't a high volume of throws, there were some big plays, and they'd take shots down the field. And –
They ran switch. Tony, they used to run. Remember, they'd run they get, the simplest play that Seattle runs is they get two guys wide, lined up wide. They switch route them. And then somehow against man-to-man coverage, they end up with a shot down the field in one-on-one coverage situation. Sometimes the guy just goes up and makes the play. Jacksonville doesn't do that. Am I wrong? Does Marquise Lee cross the field on every route? Every single one?
A lot of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, things got to change vertically. Throw something down the field. Look, I know they were scared of their offensive line probably a little bit, even though they played pretty well in week one. But at some point, you got to get a little bit of a challenge down the field. You can't go run, run, pass, or when he makes it, throws a bad throw on first down, you can't just abandon it and go away from it. To me, you're playing to be 6-3 at the half and hope like hell you hold on for dear life in the second half. If Bortles can't do it, then get him the hell out of there. You know what I mean? Get him the hell out of there. Or take a look in the mirror and realize that your quarterback situation is a disaster and you screwed it up, one way or the other.
Well, I mean, is there a third option I could take? I mean, that's A and B. Is there C? I mean, it's multiple choice. My goodness. I don't like either of those options. One,
well,
there is nowhere to go.
Let him play a little bit. Let him play. Look, you're not winning games the way they thought. They're not winning 6-3 at the half and holding on for dear life. You might win two or three of those, but you're not winning. You're not having sustainable success that way. Now, Bortles might not be any good, but you still got to let him go a little bit. Let him go. And if he stinks, then you sit him down and you let Henny play. Somebody today said, well, let Henny play. He won't turn the ball over. I'm telling you, if Henny was in the game on that sack fumble, he was turning the ball over.
Oh, anybody
in the league would do that.
That was not on Blake. I mean, the sack fumble was on the left tackle. It wasn't on Blake.
The interception, you know, at the start of the second half was on Blake. It was a terrible throw he threw behind him. The interception in the first half, that was tipped at the line of scrimmage. That's hard. That can happen to anybody. But there was no creativity. There's no driving the ball down the field. It's almost like, hey, everybody, we're going to applaud ourselves. It's 6-3 at the half. Let's go. That thing, what happens when it becomes unraveled? It goes really bad.
Well, we talked about it, and it was said last week that as great as that Houston win was, this was a much more realistic test. Because I saw Houston twice last week, by the way. I saw him Sunday, and I saw him Thursday night. And that offense is atrocious. It's not any good. And the offensive line's not any good. And a good defense did what the Jaguars did. They took advantage of it, and they played outstanding football. I'm taking nothing away from the win. It was a good win, and that offensive line played great, and they ran the ball. And you can do that when you get a lead, especially you get a two-possession lead, or, you know, you start – then you can really start enforcing your will and do some different things. But when you're in a game like this on Sunday against a much better offense with a lot of talent, Delanie Walker is one of the best tight ends in football. Those two tackles are probably the best tackle tandem in football, if not one of them. Maybe Dallas with Leo Collins and Tyron Smith is right there as well. And so it's a good offensive line. Mariota is a above-average quarterback with a lot of scramble ability. Corey Davis is a real-deal young receiver. I mean, we saw Tywan Taylor. He can fly. He's, you know, so they have some weapons. And so holding that team, I mean, if you can hold them to 17, that's a great game. Well, that means you got to score more than 17 if you're going to do that.
That's right.
And then when you get behind, my concern all along, even after the great win last week, was what does this team and what's the answer if it gets behind? Because it's going to. It happens in the NFL. And the sense I get and got from watching that game, they have zero confidence. Not only I don't think they have a lot of confidence in Blake to let put the game on his shoulders, I don't think they feel like they have the weapons outside. You have Marquise Lee, who is a game difference guy. He can create separation. He can win. But after that, you have Allen Hurns, who's a possession receiver. You're going to have to help him get open. Mm-hmm. Keelan Cole is a rookie.
Aurelius Ben.
Aurelius Ben is a special teams player. And McCaffrey, you just signed off someone's practice squad. Mercedes Lewis is not a receiving tight end. Mercedes Lewis is a blocking tight end.
But don't you agree, Tony, that like Tennessee, their weapons aren't they're better, but they're not great either. But
wait a second. You don't think Delanie Walker is a great tight end?
I think he's a good tight end. I don't think he's a great tight end. He's better than what Jacksonville has.
Tell me the receiving tight ends who are better than Delanie Walker.
No, he's a good. He's a very good. Oh, they're Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce and. He's a good receiver.
Okay,
tight end.
There's two. There's no more. As far as receiving, I'm not talking about
Jordan
all around.
Reed when he's on. Jordan
no,
Reed when
I'll
he's
take
on
Delanie
the
Walker any day of the week.
Jimmy Graham.
I'll take Delanie Walker right now. Go watch Jimmy Graham play lately. Delanie Walker is a freak as a receiver. He is really,
but don't they
really
do
good.
Do a better job of scheming to get those guys in favorable matchups too.
You mean scheming with a tight end reverse for a touchdown? That kind of scheming?
Well, not so much that, but like they bunch them up on the side and they create some guys that you want to get the tight end in a one-on-one situation, and they do it. They do a better job.
Let's stay away from schematics. And I'm not disagreeing with you, Pete. I watched Delanie Walker win one-on-one matchups. Mercedes had one-on-one matchups as well. And the separation wasn't there. And I'm not taking – I mean, they're different players. I'm just saying I saw Delanie Walker against Aaron Colvin one-on-one get enough separation to make a great catch. Against Miles Jack on an over route, get separation. He is a really good receiving tight end. And I don't think that Jacksonville has the weapons.
No, I don't think they have the weapons either. That's why it's so easy to point the thing –
And I don't
That's
think,
Blake.
And I don't think it's even. I don't think it's all. I mean, you look at the team yesterday. They have and give Mike Mularkey credit. They did a lot of stuff. They got 1-on-1 and they won the 1-on-1 matchups. Tywan Taylor beat AJ Boye, and it was a threw it deep, good throw.
And AJ been playing well all day.
And AJ's a good player.
Yeah.
But that's happened. I mean, to Pete's point, you start taking enough shots, you're gonna get some. You're gonna get some pass interferences. You're gonna get some big plays. But you gotta call it. Now, a couple times they called it twice. Blake threw it out of bounds. Led the receiver out of bounds. One to Allen Hurns that was underthrown. And the only guy who had a chance to catch it was Adoree Jackson. And the other one to Marquise Lee that was thrown out of bounds. And then
but the Keelan Cole one should have been a catch. The guy grabbed his arm.
That should have been a penalty. So we did it three times. Should have got a penalty, been 1-for-3 with big plays. But if you're going to get man coverage... Single high man coverage, the way they are playing it, I think you've got to take more of those shots. You have to make them pay.
But they got to bunch up. They got to bunch up more and create some separation that way. If you don't have guys that can win in one-on-one situations, you got to free them up and get them in a bunch formations that create mismatches. And granted, they tried to pick with what that was called, but those are the same routes. He comes all the way across the field. You get a pick, and then you got to hope like heck that you can hit him and have enough time to hit him on the cross or across the field. Why not bunch those guys up on the right side, you know, outside the tackle box, and create some separation that way?
Well, I think there's a lot of different schemes you can put in and a lot of different things. The bottom line is this team is going to have to find an answer in the passing game.
The bottom line is, Tony, they were happy they went in at down 6-3 at the half. That's where they are as a football team.
Well, they
right
weren't
now.
Happy at
they
the end, Pete. That's all that matters.
Yeah. All right. I'm agreeing with you. But they went into the locker room. Don't tell me they didn't go into the locker room feeling good about themselves. 6-3. That's our game. That's our kind of game. And then it became unraveled because they can't. They don't even try. They don't even try to take shots down.
Well, it became unraveled because if that's the style of football you're going to play, you cannot turn the ball over, and you can't have costly penalties that get you in first and 20. You can't.
And they were penalized all over the place.
Because you can't recover.
Over the field.
You cannot recover from first and 20 if that's the style of football you're going to play, and you cannot have three turnovers, and you cannot give the opponent starting position inside your territory 4+ times. You just can't. That's not the formula. The formula for this type of football, and we can talk about this further after the break, is great defense, stay ahead and down a distance, great special teams. They weren't good on special teams. They were behind on down a distance and ended up falling apart on defense. That happens. You're not going to win.
It's a loss. And Pete, we'll come back in just a moment with more from you from down in South Florida. Tony Baselli here in the studio as well. The upcoming schedule, Daly's Place, Zach Brown Band, September 21st. Young, the Giant, September 22nd. Lauryn Hill and Nas, September 23rd. What a weekend at Daly's Place. For tickets, call 633-2000 or visit daly'splace.com. Your calls in the second hour. We're off and running. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Anytime a player like that goes down, it's a huge, there's a huge void to fill. You know, the targets, the plays he made, the yards, the touchdowns, all that's gone. So we got to find a way to make up for that and to get other people in positions to make plays to where we can kind of, we don't have another Allen Robinson. He's a big-time player. But we have other guys that can make plays for us and be successful, help us be successful.
There's Allen, Blake Bortles, rather, speaking about Allen Robinson after the game last night. Allen Robinson out for the year with an ACL injury. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. And your calls in the second hour, 355-NFL-1. That's the thing, right? I mean, A-Rob is gone. D.D. Westbrook is down for at least a couple of months with a core muscle issue. He's a rookie anyway, so you didn't really know exactly what to expect from him, maybe something. But this is what you have at receiver right now.
Yeah, you got to go with it. I mean, there's no
– you got to scheme it up somehow.
It was like I was talking –
but they're going to run the ball. They want to run the ball no matter what.
You have to throw it somewhat.
Yeah, sometimes. But they aren't expecting to be first and 20. They're expecting to be a disciplined football team that runs the ball at first and 10, gets to second and 5 and 6, and then they can mix it up and pass, or they can run again if they want to. And that didn't happen yesterday.
Well, what happened? But JP, it comes back to the question is what happens when you get behind?
That's the question right now, because they weren't expecting to be in this situation at receiver.
You're done, guys. They get behind by 10 points to finish. They don't have the capability to come back from it, because that's what they've chosen to be. And whether they've chosen to be that way because they think Blake isn't good enough, or whether they've chosen to be that way because they think their defense is the Baltimore Ravens in 2000, I don't know. But that's who they've chosen to be. And you know what, Tony? You made the great point going out of break. If you play that way, you better not turn it over. You better play good in special teams, and you better get a takeaway or two.
Yeah, I mean, that's the – I mean, you look at the Houston game. They were +4 and played great defense – and ran the ball effectively. Stayed ahead on of the chains.
Nearly a perfect game for them.
And what was the final score?
27 to whatever it was. Yeah.
7 or something like that. 9, whatever it was. 27-10, whatever the score was.
7, I think.
So if you don't do that, I mean, the margin for error is just very slight.
Yeah. Well,
I don't buy that you. Number one, there's no help coming. Someone said, well, why don't we go trade for a receiver? Or go get it? I'm like, where? Who are you going to go trade for? Or what are you going to get? There's nothing out there. Your team is what it is right now. And so you have to develop guys and put them in situations where they can win. And you're going to have to get some passing attack. Because let me tell you what the Baltimore Ravens are going to do. We have a great defense. They're going to put 8 in the box. They're going to play man outside. And they're going to say, go ahead and try to run against this. because you're not going to over the long haul. And if you can beat us outside, we'll tip our hat to you.
Yeah, they have Brandon Williams in the middle, but they also have Michael Pierce, who's an emerging player as a defensive lineman next to him, is a big power player. They have C.J. Mosley, who can run at linebacker. The two safeties are very good, and they have good corners now. If you think you're going to line up and play, run the football against them all day in London, they're out of their mind. They can forget about that. So you don't have guys who can win consistently outside. So you know what that tells me, Tony? Go back in and figure it out. Scheme the damn thing up. There's a lot of teams that have won and got guys open without winning outside in one-on-one situations.
Jaguars signed Ryan Nassib today. Doug Marrone said this afternoon it was for insurance because Blake Bortles is on the injury report each week with a wrist injury, and in case something were to go south on a Friday or Saturday before a game, then you need a two quarterbacks available for the game. So they had worked him out in the past. They decided to pull the trigger today and get Nassib on his team.
Well, then why'd you let Brandon Allen go then? That'd be my – I mean, because he's been on the injury report since they made cuts, right, with the wrist.
Yes, what I understand, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pete, am I wrong? Is that
– It makes no sense to me. I mean, other than the fact that maybe they clearly didn't think that Brandon Allen was any good, but –
But if that's the case, then why don't you have Ryan Nassib in all camp? Did he get cut late?
Well, there is connection here, don't you see? I mean, there is a connection.
Well,
right?
Absolutely.
Way back to college.
I understand the connection.
Coughlin's, you know.
And also Tom had him in New York.
Yeah, of course.
Coach Tom had him in New York.
He's made 10 pass attempts in the NFL, though.
He's not any good either.
If we're going to Ryan Nassib,
you'd have been better off bringing in Colin Kaepernick.
But we know that's not going to happen. So let's just not bring that subject up. It's not going to happen. It's frustrating. And what's frustrating
to me, if you're going to try and hand off all the time, at least he can run the read option. He can get outside and create some problems with his legs.
Well, Blake ran the read option yesterday and ran over a guy. Did you see that, Pete?
That's not sustainable.
Come on,
I'll just say it for Pete. That's not sustainable. And Pete knows.
No, it isn't. It's not. And again, if you don't have guys who can win outside consistently, it's on the coaching staff and the offensive staff to find ways to scheme them open. Get them open. Create some bunch formations. It's like when Green Bay was going bad a couple years ago, everybody wondered, why can't the Packers move the football? It wasn't Aaron Rodgers. They didn't have anybody outside who can win when Jordy Nelson got hurt, and they were stubborn about it and kept running ISO routes. Never ran any bunch, never ran any pick, and the guys didn't get open. Well, in Jacksonville, they got to start doing things to scheme the guys open. Try it. At least try it. And don't play scared all the time. They play scared. You go in at 6-3 at halftime and you're happy about it, you play scared.
They had some Marquise Lee open over the middle on the crossing stuff. One of them was behind him. Quarterback's got to hit it sometimes, too.
Repeat, do you have the confidence that you can line up, open it up more with Blake Bortles as your quarterback?
I mean, do I?
I'm asking you the question.
I have as much confidence in that as I do in trying to win a game the way they're playing now. Yes.
So you're saying at the end of the year, the win total is the same whether they play close to the vest,
exactly
run the ball,
the
great defense, hope not to turn it over.
Yes, exactly the same. They're not winning either way, but you might as well try and win it, throwing it around a little bit.
We're already there. It's already week. Wait, Pete. It's week two, and you're already going. We're not going to win this year. It's over.
They're not going to win. Okay, let's just say you gave Blake an opportunity to make some plays in first and second down. Look, if you don't throw on first down, you're asking for it in this league nowadays. The offensive lines across the board, and you know this, Tony, as well as anybody, they're pretty bad, right? I'm going to give you an example. I know we're going to talk about the league later on, but the Dallas Cowboys have one of the best offensive lines in football. You would agree with that, right?
Yes.
All right, Denver loaded up the box on Sunday, right? They loaded up the box and took away tried to take away the running game. And so what happened? They didn't win outside. They couldn't win against the secondary. Dak Prescott looked pedestrian.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco on the line with us from South Florida. Jaguars Monday continues. The phone lines will open up in the second hour, 355-NFL-1. I'm sure Tony's excited to take some phone calls tonight. We'll do the Pro Football Focus grades. Pete's got those dialed up and ready.
Oh, Ouch.
For the first time. Too bad we didn't do that last week. The hurricane.
Tony's going to love that segment like he always does, right?
Absolutely.
No.
The defense for this football team. Hey, first half, hung with them, right? I mean, they had forced some field goals. They got some three and outs. They had an interception. Telvin Smith with a big play to answer a turnover on the other side and kind of negate that, which was nice to see. But then the second half came around, and they weren't handed many favors by the offense. Let's say that up front. When your average starting field position is the Tennessee 40, when you're Tennessee, for the whole day, and they had, what, six consecutive scoring drives? On those six consecutive scoring drives, their average starting position was their own 48-yard line. Short fields all day, no matter what defense you are, you can't hang all day like that. Right, Pete? It's tough to do.
Yeah, and you know what? The defense, I can't look, they didn't look like the same unit in the second half, and that's just human nature sometimes. You know, it's hard to say they quit, but Tony made
it. You already said they quit.
You said it. No, you said it, Pete.
Yeah, they quit. They quit. In the fourth quarter, they quit. But it's frustrating if you're a defensive player. You played your butt off for you know, 2.5 quarters, and you get nothing from the other side. Zero, zippo, and you take the field knowing that if they turn the ball over, you're going to be in even bigger trouble. So I get it. But again, don't blame the defense, because that defense was flying around the football in the first half. They made good play. The pass rush wasn't there now. I'll say that. It wasn't the same. It didn't, you know, they didn't get home. They weren't pressuring the quarterback. And that's a good offensive line. Tony made the point about the tackles.
Right.
Those guys are darn good. But, you know, they were flying around the football. They looked fast. It looked like, again, it looked like for the first half, it looked like a fast defense again. And then it didn't in the second half. It looked like, and there were guys on the field in certain situations where you needed to stop, and they got blocked. The backups got blocked a little bit.
Yeah, defense. You know, and it's one of those where, and then towards the end of the game, they started to run the ball, especially when
got
late.
It was over.
Yeah, it was over then. Henry starts pounding the football, and here we go.
I've had enough of tackling Derrick Henry down by 21.
No thanks. No thanks.
What the biggest difference? But Tony, here's the biggest difference between those two teams right now. When they had the two penalties and made it, what was it, second and 30 or whatever it was?
Yep.
Then they came back and hit a shot in the middle of the field for 20-something yards to get it in the field goal range.
It was before halftime, you mean?
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jacksonville won't hit that shot. They won't get anywhere near hitting that shot. That's the difference right now. They can come out from underneath. The horror of being in that situation, and Jacksonville can't do it, and nor do they try and do it.
Yeah, it was second and 30 with 19 seconds to go, and Mariota hit Matthews for 20 yards.
And yeah, that should never happen, but the fact is that they can make it happen. Jacksonville can't make that happen. They just their guys don't win or they don't scheme it up, they can't make it happen.
Does Pete, is it players' scheme? All of the above.
I think it's everything, Tony. I think it's
scheme, so you're saying the
mentality.
So if I'm asking you based on what you're saying, and I'm going to give you my opinion in a second, Tennessee has better players and better scheme?
They have better players and a better scheme, yes.
Interesting.
What is your opinion, Tony?
An
eagerly anticipated opinion from Tony.
I think the skill position guys are probably better outside of Fournette's probably the best back on that field. But Derrick Henry's a good player. But overall, I think if you took the collection, you'd be probably taking their skill guys. And as far as scheme, I'm not going to say their scheme is better. I just think we have made our mind up based on personnel that the way we're going to win is play great defense, great special teams, not turn it over, no penalties, and run the you-know-what out of the ball. And I just don't think we have any answers in the pass game. So if you want to put that on scheme, fine. I mean, if you're asking me, do I think Nathaniel Hackett and the coaching staff can figure out, or smart football coaches and can scheme up things, I think they can. I think it's more of a choice that they're saying, this is the way we're going to have to play to win.
Hey, Tony, you know, we talk about malarkey and exotic smash mouth, and they want to run the football, and they do run the football, and they ran the football last year. But if you go look at their big plays, their, you know, the 20s and the 40s, the big plays, they get a lot of big plays off of what they do with that run game. In other words, they scheme up guys to get free, and we've seen it over the years. Guys getting, you know, wide open on the guys coming up in the run game and everything else because they know how to scheme them open. So they do, even though they're exotic smash mouth, they get a lot of big explosive plays out of that. And that's what Jacksonville has to get to on the next step for them. If they want to run the ball and play power football, they have to figure out a way to get big plays down the field somehow in the passing game. It could be a screen that pops for 60. It could be a quick throw to the wide receiver. It could be bunch formation. It could be they have to get some explosive plays off the run game, or else the run game is going to go back to being what you saw on Sunday.
And I agree with that. I think you do have to do a better job of figuring out how to take more shots. And they don't have to be ball 50 in the air shots, but you have to have, you know, stuff where you play action and you're hitting the back, you know, you're hitting the X receiver on the backside on a post, or one-on-one on a deep comeback, or in off coverage, you get him the ball one-on-one and he's making it, someone miss a tackle, and or down, you know, scheming up to get the tight end on down the seam, or on an over route because you got man coverage based because they're going man and you're running the ball. I mean, what Pete's talking about, that's a lot of things that they do with Delanie Walker and their wide receivers outside. I mean, you look at Tennessee and Mike Mularkey when they say exotic smash mouth. I mean, the reason they're doing that is they want to run the ball, but they do it out. They scheme up things out of their 21 and 22 personnel where they have, you know, two tight ends out there and sometimes three tight ends just to give different looks and stress the defense in different ways because you get, you know, run fronts out there and then they'll throw out of them and the such. So, I mean, with that said, I think it's almost more of a conscious decision, though, for this staff. That they just feel like, based on their, especially with A-Rob out, without Allen Robinson out there, I don't think, probably outside of Marquise Lee, they don't feel like they have guys who are have the ability to be playmakers. And if they have the ability, I don't think they trust him yet. I'm not sure they trust Keelan Cole to be that guy. Marquise is going to have to step up.
Take Delanie Walker out of the equation for a second and talk about when you look at the Titans wide receivers. Okay, one's a first-round rookie, but he's still a rookie. The other one's a rookie, third-round pick. He's still a rookie. Decker is coming off of being banged up, and he made a couple catches, but he's not going to run by anybody. And then you have Matthews, who's, you know, solid player but not a great player. So they're not exactly loaded up at the wide receiver position either, and that was a problem for them last year too, by the way.
Yeah, but I think this year, Pete, if you look at it, you got Decker and Rashard Matthews, who are both veteran guys, Allen Hurns, but maybe a little bit above that, especially in Decker. I mean, he's caught a lot of balls and a lot of touchdowns for a long time. And then the two guys they added outside are just they're explosive, you know, speed guys who create separation and stretch the field. And, you know, if you
But
look,
they are rookies, though.
No, I agree. I'm not saying that they got the best receiving core in the world or anything. I'm saying looking at our group of guys, they're going to have to trust. They're going to have to ask Marquise Lee is going to have to take a bigger role, and he's going to have to say, I'm the number one receiver and put the onus on me, and I'm going to go win outside and give me opportunities. They're going to have to do that. And Keelan Cole, they're going to have to trust. He's their third receiver. And, you know, have Allen Robinson work, you know, and try to get the favorable matchups with him because he's a very good route runner. But as far as creating separation on their own, those two guys are going to have to do it, and they're going to have to learn to trust Cole.
Now, before we go to break, JP, one thing I want to say is, like, the Titans schemed up the tight end, the rookie tight end, to have a big play, right? The tight end from FAU. Right? He schemed him up. He had a big play.
On the screen.
That wasn't him. Yeah, that wasn't him winning.
No, but that was at the end where the pursuit probably wasn't the strongest from the Jaguars defense.
So you're saying they quit then?
I didn't say that. I said the energy had left their bodies.
Mm.
They were downtrodden. They were their daubers were down.
The daubers.
The daubers
well, it was
were
actually
down.
A very good call too because they had three blockers out there on Miles Miles Jack by himself, too.
The Daubers were down, Pete.
Let's come back and get into the penalty issues, where they came, how they hurt, maybe some special teams, too. Also, the second hour coming up soon. Your calls, 355-NFL1, the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night. And thanks to those of you watching on Facebook tonight, the Jaguars Facebook page. Max Hockman, Hollywood, directing on that end. Joe Fortunato on the radio side tonight. The JTA Game Day Express features two downtown locations, along with rides from the north side, JTB and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at jtafla.com. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Yes, it does. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Your call's coming up in the second hour. We'll go around the National Football League as well. You know, it kind of feels like some Daubers are down in this show tonight, Tony. I mean, you seem down, man. I'll be honest
with you.
Well,
I mean,
this team's 1-1. They're in first place.
Well, let's not get too far.
They're in first place.
They are.
Pete, they're in first place.
Come on.
You're like glass half full today.
I mean, my number's not down.
Here's the problem. You want to know my problem?
Well, you got a few, but go ahead.
Is the fact that last week we get a win and the dang show gets canceled because of Irma.
I know, right?
We're getting ready to celebrate, awesome. Have a party, have a good time, rub it in Pete's face, Smash Mouth football's back.
Welcome to Saxonville.
Welcome to Saxonville now. It's depression.
Now it's back to reality in a week. Huh, Tony?
Oh gosh, Pete. I mean, it's just, I think it was so frustrating because I don't think there was any illusions that we were going to be a team that was going to march through the regular season and just be dominating week in and week out. There was going to be tough situations, but if you lose that game, 24-21 or even 17-24 or something where it's back and forth and, a turnover here. Okay, fine. But it was going back to of having zero answer on offense for an entire quarter and seeing the defense put in one bad situation after another and finally their will just breaking. And then being down by 30, okay, let's spend the last 10 minutes of racking up yards and throwing around all over the place. It's just like, come on. I mean, are we going to do this again? Is this what this is?
I guess the question I have is, what is this team? Are they closer to the week one team or are they closer to the week two team in the long run?
Somewhere in between. And I'm not trying to avoid it, but that's, you're never as good as you think you are and you're never as bad as you think you are. And you go into this week against Baltimore, and I think everybody, including all of us on this show, if you would have said you're going to be 2-1 coming out of London, you'd be like, great. We'll take that.
Yeah.
And so if I take away the, the media and us sitting on the show just bemoaning, if I'm a player in that locker room, saying, listen, it was a bad day. Let's get through this and get our rear ends ripped by the head coach and our position coaches. Let's get to Tuesday. Let's get back on the field Wednesday, because we go over to London and beat a good Baltimore team, which we're capable of, because it's not like Baltimore's offense is the, the 99 Rams, the greatest show on turf. I mean, they're not dynamic. They got injuries. They lost.
Yeah, but Jacksonville's offense makes it look like the Rams.
They're about the same, Pete, if you really look at it. They're about the same. Yeah. They lost their best offensive lineman, Marshall Leonda, for the year with a broken ankle. So it's going to be a defensive battle. And it's going to be one of those games until we figure out a passing game, which we might not this year, where you got to win the turnover battle, can't have costly penalties, allow your defense to be who they are, and go win a one-possession game.
Doesn't it say the standings that Jacksonville has 1.5 wins because they celebrated 6-3 at the half yesterday? Don't they have the next
Pete, why do you keep on going back to that? Who celebrated? I missed the celebration.
I was kind of happy about it, to be quite honest with you.
But there was
you
a celebration.
Can't tell me that they didn't go in at halftime feeling like that was a win for them.
They didn't hold their helmets over their heads in their hands or anything, running out number one.
Pete, I did not sense them happy going at halftime, no.
If that's the style of play they want to play, they went in happy.
Well, I think JP was the only one happy.
6-3. I was down a field goal.
I threw up on my shoes.
I was busy eating sandwiches.
I threw up on my shoes watching that. Were they daily? What's that? You do those ads now? Were those sandwiches?
Daily's Dash. That's my place, man. Love that place. But these were Publix.
You make those sandwiches sound You make them sound good, Tony.
How many ads are you on now?
Well, I wasn't. That's not a Publix ad. They supplied sandwiches to the booth, right? Jim?
Right. That's during the half, right?
Yeah, I'm not representing Publix. Them. I just ate them.
Right. But you are on the. You're on a handful. Of,
not that many, really.
You do the Daily's Dash sandwich ad.
Yeah,
Tony.
Daily's Dash. Because I eat there. I eat at Daily's Dash. I like it. They're a sponsor. They got the amphitheater. They're great. And I like Colgan. I drink the water right out of the sink,
right out of the kitchen sink.
I got a couple.
You still doing the sport coats?
No.
No. Okay.
Geico?
No more sports coats. Sports coats. How about DPS?
No. Geico?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you're a popular guy. Yeah. Just wait until you get into the Hall of Fame. That's going to, I mean, multiply times infinity.
Times infinity.
You will need representation.
I think Joe will be upset because Joe has to cut all the commercials.
What happened first, Tony Boselli in the Hall of Fame or the Jaguars in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Pete, why don't you answer that?
You'll be in the Hall of Fame long before they get in the Super Bowl. How's that?
It could be this year, Pete.
If Pete will do his job.
It could be this year.
Yeah.
Pete'll get off his butt.
I'm trying. People get sick of hearing me.
I get sick of hearing you.
They see me coming. They're running.
Hi, it's Pete.
They scatter like people running from TC in the hallway here.
But going back to this team, I mean, that's who they are. And so you cannot, as down as I was yesterday, you leave the stadium saying, well, 1-1. You lost at home. That was a bummer. That stinks for the fans, and I hated that for the fans because you want to have a good experience at the stadium. And it was the way they lost that was ugly, and the turnovers and how many penalties on first down are we going to get? My goodness. Mm. Three turnovers. Lost turnover battle. We're minus two. But you go to London, and guys, you win this game.
2-1.
Peter, you win this game. You get the Jets the following week. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because, I mean, I'm a week-to-week guy.
But we did that in the office today. We went down the schedule.
It drives Pete crazy when I'm like, nope, one game at a time. But let me take my football player coach hat off. I mean, you go to the Jets. My goodness. 3-1 out of the first quarter?
When was the last time that happened?
You're probably leading the division.
Been a while.
Tony, let me ask you this, though. If they go to London and play the exact style of football that they played on Sunday, do they have a chance?
Not if they turn it over like they did, Pete. They're going to lose by two touchdowns.
They have 100 yards of penalty
yards. You're going to turn the ball over.
Well, they did in week one.
And you're going to have to get more than they get then.
And they're a ball-hawking defense.
This team has to be plus one or better to win, I think.
Hey, guys, let's come back. We'll get to Tony Boselli.
Probably plus two.
Plus two?
I'll take plus one right now.
We'll take plus anything right now.
Woo!
Second hour coming up. Tony Boselli, Twitter question of the night. We'll get some phone calls, the Pro Football Focus grades. Pete Prisco's dialing those up as we speak. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. Second hour, Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Second hour of Jaguars Monday underway. Our daubers are up here. At least on this side of the table, Tony.
Dauber up, baby. Dauber up.
Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco.
Here we go. Hey, let me tell you what's going to happen.
I can't wait to hear this.
It's going to be the first guarantee. I'm not locking it, but I'm going to guarantee.
Really?
First guarantee of the season.
Okay, which is?
What happens in London is going to happen. Like, it always
happens in London, stays in London.
Well, let's not go that far.
Okay.
What always happens in London when the Jags go there is we win. And we win.
The last 2 years.
Well, that's all that matters. We forgot about the first 2 years. Didn't count. Guaranteed victory over Baltimore. Baltimore's not going to know what hit them when they get to London. There's going to be a London fog over
them. It's the first
time
they've ever been.
It's called domination. Jaguar domination. Saxonville will be back.
Take it to the bank, huh?
Take it to the bank, even though we're not in the bank.
We're not.
We'll be in Wembley. Take it to Wembley. Guaranteed victory, Pete.
Guaranteed, Pete.
Last time you did that, did they win?
No, I locked it, though, and I said I'd never lock another game until I was sure. And I'm not sure this time.
But this one you're guaranteeing.
Yeah, just not
even
blocking.
Though you haven't really watched the Ravens on tape yet.
Yeah,
have
I have. I watched week one.
Hey, by the way, the Ravens have beat the Bengals, who haven't scored yet, and the Browns, who have a rookie quarterback who started on the road for the first time.
Yeah,
last
they've,
week,
they haven't
so.
Played anybody. But, 10 takeaways in
no,
two games.
They haven't.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to win.
All right, there's your Vaselli guarantee at 7 o'clock on a Monday. I like it. Early guarantee.
Yeah, they're going to win. I mean, we're
just getting in early.
What do you think?
They're not going to win. They
is,
can't,
is that
they
a guarantee?
As bad as, well, I mean, we. I don't know. We just go back. It's like a time machine watching them play football. It's like when I was a kid in the 70s.
Yeah, but here's the difference. This defense is really, I think, is going to be, take away the fourth quarter, basically. They're a good unit. They fly around. They're fast. That Ravens offense, I watched them. There's nothing special about them at all.
And losing Yonda is a big hit for them.
Big
no
hit.
Doubt.
I'm telling you. They're going to beat Baltimore. And we're going to be sitting here Monday. Well, I won't. I'll be in London on the phone with Pete on the phone. It's going to be an interesting show. And we're going to talk about how this team's 2-1 leading the division. Getting ready to go to the Jets to be 3-1.
It'll be a lot better
You're
looking at the studio.
Staying over an extra day?
Yeah. How about that, right? I mean, he is the franchise still to this day, T.
Unbelievable.
I'm doing work.
It's unbelievable. Why? What are you making a vacation out of it?
No, I'm doing work, Pete. It's called work. I know you don't know anything about work.
He ain't staying at the Motel 6
Monday
either.
In London?
I got an event Monday night.
What a star, huh?
It's
JP.
Unbelievable.
It really is. It's unreal.
And where he's staying, they don't leave the light on for you. It's not one of those Motel 6 type
they
places.
Come shut it off.
Oh, hell no.
That's
right. He's staying at some Four Seasons or something with room service, and he's ordering in all the time.
Caviar.
Eating big giant meals. Oh, yeah.
Scotch and caviar.
That's what happens when you, that's
scotch.
What happens when you're the pride of the Jaguars. Can you imagine when he gets into the Hall of Fame, JP?
His
head
won't
fit. Jet fly him over there.
The head won't fit through the European doorways over there.
It's tight already.
You know what? Sean will be telling Tony, hey, Tony, you want to take the yacht out for a spin?
Oh, that'd be worth making the Hall of Fame right there for that. That alone, baby. Don't tease me like that, Pete. And who do we play after the Jets?
Steelers.
Oh,
guarantee that one, too, while you're at it?
No, let's not go that far.
Okay, I didn't think so.
It's a fun city to go to, though. We'll have to go get some Pomani brothers.
Pomani
brothers.
Pomani, whatever. I
you
love
don't really people. Like. You don't really like that, do you?
Yeah, you don't like them?
No, they put coleslaw and French fries on a sandwich.
Yeah,
it's gross.
Exactly. That's what I like about it. Coleslaw on a sandwich makes the sandwich.
All right.
That's not a good combo.
Do you guys want to get to the PFF grades or the Twitter question of the night
yes.
first?
Let's do the Twitter question.
Let's do the PFF grade.
We'll do the Twitter question. It'll be quick, and then we'll go PFF.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, the Tony Vaselli Twitter question of the night from @allbully904. Does the A-Rob injury actually help him get a contract here? His absence shows how important he is to the team. That's an interesting question. Contract year for him?
No.
No, you say.
No, he's ACL. You don't know what he's going to be like. You're not going to give him a big contract after an ACL injury.
Well, you might get a smaller contract.
Well, how's that going to help him then? It just says
it would help him get a contract here. That's the question.
I don't think.
Not help him. It'd help him get a contract.
I don't think A-Rob was looking for a smaller contract.
That's not
so
what
So it's not going to help him.
It's not the way the question was
I
worded.
I think my guess is A-Rob goes on a one-year prove-it deal.
I think they'll give him. You don't think they'll give him like a three-year deal, or you don't think he'll accept that?
If I was A-Rob, I wouldn't. Well, it depends how big
a deal.
They'll
give him, I think they'll try to extend him more than 1 year. But I'm with Tony. No, it doesn't help him that he's not playing at all.
How big a deal? 3 years, what?
It never helps anybody to tear an ACL.
Three
ever.
Years, how much guaranteed money, Pete?
Well, that's what did Hearns get?
I don't remember.
Like 10 years, 10 a year, right?
Besides too much.
20-something.
Besides too much.
I don't remember.
Big number. Big number.
You're laughing. I see you. I can see you in the studio laughing at too much. You like that one, huh, Tony?
No comment. Let's go to PFF.
Now you want to go to PFF grades.
Yeah, I like PFF.
Okay,
year.
Pro Football Focus.
I love when people grade off TV copies.
It would have been nice last week to hear
not
these.
This week.
Not this week.
All right, here we go. Let's go through the offense. There were 1, 2, 3 players who graded in the green.
Three in the green?
Good.
On offense?
Yeah.
Marquise Lee?
No.
I would say...
Oh, Allen Hurns, probably.
Alan Hearns, yes.
He had one catch.
No, he had six.
I know. I don't get that one.
He had a bunch at the end.
Oh, I forgot. I blocked out
garbage
the end.
Time.
It shouldn't count. How about Linder?
Yes. Correct.
And I thought Parnell played well.
They gave him a he's in the plus, but not to the green.
Okay.
So you're right. They
I thought he played
well. One more, and I don't think you'll get it's Chris Ivory.
Yeah, Chris played fine. Yeah. Limited reps.
All right. Who's the lowest rated player on the offense?
I'll say the lowest rated offensive lineman would be Cam Robinson.
By far. By far. Who's the second lowest rated?
Is he the whole offense? Was he the lowest
in
on
the offense? Yeah.
So Cam was lowest in the offense. Next lowest, Blake.
No, AJ Cam.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think AJ played that bad.
All right, let's go. Blake was in the red. Patrick Omame was in the red. Keelan Cole was in the red. So all those.
Where was Marquise?
Those guys. Let's go to the deep.
Well, before we go
Marquise
to defense,
was slightly on the positive side, so he was on neither.
What color's that?
White.
One question before we go to defense. Cam Robinson's the lowest graded player by Pro Football Focus this week on the offense.
He had a rough day.
What was so bad about it? Just in general, the whole day for him.
Yeah, watching it, I thought, he had the sack fumble. Poor technique on the set. And then he got, and then he gave up some more pressure because he started jumping. He jumped outside one time, got beat inside. And I thought... It looked like me once or twice he went the wrong way, had a missed assignment. And I'm always careful to say that.
He's working against a pretty darn good player, too. I mean, Arakpo's a good player.
Arakpo's a good player, no doubt about it. But Cam Robinson, if he does it the technique right, he's not going to get beat by Brian Arakpo. Because Brian Arakpo isn't what he was in the, 4 years ago. But he's a good player. But so is Cam Robinson. He's a talented kid. He gets lazy in his sets and he turns too early and he gets him in trouble. And that's what happened.
Hmm. All right, let's go to the defense.
Sounds good.
There's actually a lot of green on the defense. One, two, three,
two
four,
and a half
five,
quarters,
six.
They were dominant.
All right. Who's the highest rated defensive player?
I'd say Telvin.
Miles Jack.
Miles Jack is not the second highest. He's not even in the green.
Miles isn't in the green, huh?
No.
Well, Jalen Ramsey had to be up there. They didn't never throw it to him.
They threw it one time his way, I think.
Yeah, he's in the green. He's at 3-2, but he's not the highest. He's the third highest.
Yeah, I mean,
who's the highest then, I wonder?
Barry Church,
they
maybe?
Have Calais Campbell is the highest.
Yeah, Calais was good. I mean, he's just solid. I mean, he's just a solid player, just eats up space. You don't move him.
And they had Yannick as the second highest.
He didn't do a lot, but he didn't do anything bad. Did he have a sack?
They had Telvin Smith.
You sure
and
about
Ramsey were 3-4. There were only two defensive players in the red, which is encouraging, I guess, right?
How's that? I don't understand how that works when you give 31 points in the second half.
Yeah, Miles had the only sack.
Because they probably took into account that they quit in the second half.
So they stopped grading it? They quit, too?
They stopped.
This
is so trustworthy.
That's why this whole PFF just drives me crazy. I mean, how do you give up 31 points in the second half and only have two people in the red? Who were in the red?
Who were the red?
Well, Malik Jackson, Miles Jack.
No, Aaron Colvin.
Aaron Colvin. I thought you said Miles Jack was in the red.
No, I said he's in the white, so he's lightly below the green. But he was in the minus in the run defense and big positive in pass defense. Would you agree with that?
Who, Miles?
Yeah.
I thought he played solid. I thought Telvin played. I thought Telvin
Malik
was
Jackson
really
needs to play better.
Okay, I thought Telvin was really good for 2.5 quarters, but I thought Telvin wasn't himself near the in the fourth. And the third, fourth quarter. Now, you can say that about a lot of guys on that defense. So, I just don't know when a defense doesn't finish the game. And I'm putting more on the defense. And I'm not blaming them for the loss, but I have higher expectations for them because they are talented and they're a really good unit. So, I have higher expectations. I just don't expect them to ever allow a game to get out of hand like that. Like, they're too good to let that happen. There's zero reason they should allow a team to score every possession just about in the second half at will. They're too good for that.
Oh, by the way.
That's my opinion.
Sorry, guys. I read it wrong. That was their overall grade.
Oh, jeez.
For the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, it makes no sense.
Well, you know what, though? When you go back, okay, because Cam Robinson, well, I just want to real quick. Cam Robinson was in the minus, like you said, Tony. Linder was in the minus in this one for the game.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
AJ Cann was in the minus for this game. And the only positives on offense were Marquise Lee, so you guys got it right. Alan Hearns, Omame got a positive. Do you think he played well, Tony?
I'm telling you, Pete, I thought Cam had a rough day, and he's a rookie. That happens. He's playing against a player. I didn't think the rest of the offensive line played that bad. They weren't terrible.
Right, so defensively in the game, yeah, there are a lot of minuses. There's
okay,
only one guy
you.
In
that
the
makes
green.
More sense.
I'm like, what do you, I mean,
he's
oh,
got,
really, I was
he's
about
got
to say,
run
the only
all,
guy
all
in the
day.
Green.
Okay,
the
you know what,
green.
Pete? Let's stop, Pete. Stop. You know what? You screwed this segment up so bad. Just stop. You've ruined it.
I know.
It is
I
awful.
Did. I did.
And you know what?
Yep. By the way, the only guy in the green, Calvin Smith. So you guys were right.
You're an idiot.
Thank you. I was right. Hey, did you hear that? I was right. Did you hear that? Say it again, Pete.
JP, he's never going to acknowledge when you're right. All he does is berate you.
No.
Say it again, Pete. That's say it again. Say it
JP
again.
Was right. I'm saying Pete has ruined this segment, so and nothing matters anymore.
But I was right.
Fine.
Well, call me dumb like you called JP dumb all the time.
You're dumb. You know what, Pete?
Okay, now I'm going to get mad. Now I'm going to get all mad like JP got mad at you the one night and he was stewing for 45 minutes.
And
remember?
Start crying, start tearing up. You want to know how dumb you are? This is how dumb you are. You made PFF look smart to me. That's how dumb you are.
Oh, dear. Shots fired.
Ooh, I'm going to tell them that you said that. They're gonna make you one of their spokesmen. Maybe you get a deal with them, too.
Oh,
Daily
yeah.
Fashion, PFF.
Oh, you'd love them.
I will
quick.
Say this. I can become a PFF fan for the right deal.
I know you can. I know how you work.
Let's see what Chris Collinsworth has to offer. Let's come back and get some phone calls. 355-NFL-1. We'll go around the National Football League in a bit as well. Tough loss for the Jags, but they're still in first place.
Are we doing calls now?
Yeah, we're
going
to get some calls, yeah.
My favorite.
Yes, they are.
Bring them, baby.
This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Busy week at Daly's Place. Zach Brown Band coming up September 21st. That's, Thursday night. Young the Giant. September 22nd, Miss Lauren Hill and Nas, Saturday, September 23rd. Call 633-2000 or visit dailysplace.com for tickets. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, and Pete Prisco is down in South Florida. And we go to the phone lines for the first time tonight, and we go to East Arlington. Kyle is on hold. What's up, Kyle?
Yes, I just had a question about the practice squad. You hear me all right?
Yes, sir. We got you. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
You're on the air. Go for it.
Okay. Does the practice squad travel, not just within the 48 states, but you can even go to London? Do they travel? I mean, they're wearing uniforms, right? I mean, do they travel?
They travel to London because there is a practice in London on
they
Friday.
They did not dress out for the games, no.
Right. And they do not travel during the regular road games.
They do not. They stay home.
They stay here. So there you go. Practice squad.
Hey, just for the record.
Yes.
You know, Ryan Nassib is 9 out of 10 for 128 yards. He has a high quarterback.
Oh, he's 9 out of those 10.
9 out of 10.
That's 90%. I know I'm not a math major like you, Tony.
Yeah, and a touchdown. So,
that's 90%.
You know, that's pretty good.
Stop it. Please just stop it.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Mike is on the south side, our next call tonight. Mike, good evening. You're on the air. What's up? Mike.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Turn your radio off, Mike.
Okay. Sorry. It's off.
It's all right.
Yeah. So there were three non-calls on penalties in the first half that could have changed the momentum tremendously. One, Blake gets thrown down after play. No call.
Yep.
I mean, that's like an automatic.
Yep.
Dante Fowler gets his helmet ripped off. No call.
Hold on, stop there. Because they called a similar play on Mercedes later, where Mercedes' hand actually wasn't in his face. It was in the chest, and it kind of rode up and got underneath it, so maybe knocked it up, but it wasn't hands to the face. It was kind of his,
hands to the chin.
Like his shoulder pad and up and rode it up.
So he blocked him so well, it went up into his face.
Technically, you could maybe call it because it touched his face. You want to call it because his helmet came off? Fine, but so did.
It's not like he face rubbed him.
No, but so did Dante Fowler's helmet came off. So you got to call it both ways if you're going to call it. So I agree with you. Keep on going.
And then the third one, Marcus Mariota, not outside the pocket, doesn't get the ball back to the line of scrimmage. Almost hits the referee on the sideline with the ball.
So that,
and they don't call it.
Okay, that the reason they didn't call that, which is a judgment call, Hockley felt like that he threw it in the direction of the receiver in the flat, which he did. Now, he threw it over his head by 10 yards, but there was a receiver in the flat in the direction that he threw the ball, and they're always going to give the quarterback the benefit of the doubt on that in that situation. So that one I'm okay
with. I would agree with that. Yeah, that one was fine. That one was fine.
But the other big one you missed, now it was probably too late, might not have mattered, but the deep ball to Keelan Cole, Adoree Jackson grabs his shoulder as he's trying to go up and catch it. It is clearly pass interference.
Yeah, and I'm not sure he would have caught it, but he did interfere with it.
No, it's clearly pass interference. Now, does that do away with the three turnovers and the short fields and the bad punt coverage? No. Would that have made a difference in the game? Maybe in the first half, maybe momentum goes different. So maybe you have a lead at the end of the half instead of being down. But that makes there's no good excuse for what happened in the third quarter. And no,
they did get a win in the first half. I don't know what you're talking about. They got a half a win for playing 6-3, Tony. Stop
you
it.
Shut up, Pete. You've said like five times. It's not funny.
Yeah, well, that's the theme of the show. That's why.
What do you mean it's the theme of the show?
The organization was happy. It was 6-3 at the half, and that just tells you that the
who was happy
right
besides
now.
JP? Nobody else was happy. Joe, were you happy?
JP, didn't you get a sense? Didn't you get a sense that they were happy that game played that way?
I don't know. I was holding my helmet, running off the field.
Let's
do it. I don't know about the rest of it, Pete. I was in the cave in here. So
I'll do a very unscientific.
Why did you go to the game with a helmet, JP? That one I can't.
Well, there's one on the studio desk here. I had it raised up at halftime.
So I'll do a very unscientific poll. We already got JP says he was excited because we were down only by three. it makes me laugh to say
6-3. It's a slobber knocker game. Okay. They're running the football.
I was not excited. I was indifferent, thinking we had a half to go. Joe, where were you in this? Were you happy at 6-3?
I was happy because I knew sandwiches were coming.
Okay, but besides the sandwiches, were you happy at 6-3?
No.
No.
Okay, that's enough.
Hollywood, were you happy at 6-3? No. He gave the thumbs down. So guess what, Pete? Three of the four people, so 75% of the people, which makes up the large majority of this building, being 75%, were not happy. So I don't know what you're talking
about.
But
what do the electoral votes say?
What I just said, 75%.
Oh, okay. All right.
Early poll. Early exit.
Those that matter in the organization were happy, I guarantee you.
So you're saying Tom Coughlin was happy.
And so was Doug Marrone.
No, he was not.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, come on.
Because you know why?
They were not.
Because their plan to win football games was working at that time.
They were losing. How was it working?
It's a 6-3 game. They've run the ball okay in the first half. They haven't had to put it up in the air much. The defense is playing pretty good.
Right. Yeah. There was working at that time.
If they had another half of that,
they would have lost 12-6. Would not have been good.
Still correct. One score game, and you're
point.
In.
And that's the point.
I've lost the point. Pete, you are doing such a bad job tonight. I like PFF, and I want more calls. That's how bad you are.
Oh.
Because you know I'm right, and you just won't admit. It's one of those ones where you don't want to admit it because you don't want to get yelled at down the hallway.
What do you mean? Who's going to yell at me down the hallway? I've never been yelled at from down the hallway.
Let's dig into this a bit.
I've never been yelled at from down the hallway.
Oh, you have been yelled at down the hallway when you were playing. You certainly have been yelled at down the hallway.
Oh, yeah, when I was playing, but not since I've been doing this job.
I don't know. Maybe you didn't either. You were kind of the teacher's pet.
You see how he's
teacher's pet. He was deep throw. He's everybody's best friend back then.
I mean, everybody's. Yeah. I mean, just keep on.
By the way, Tony, did you see on Twitter the other day where Leon congratulated you and Jimmy? And
you had a heavy pen.
Did you see what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said, what about me, man, the Hall of Fame sports writer or whatever? And he goes, yeah, you did a great job carrying your Ben and Baber around or whatever.
Yeah, it was good. I saw it.
Let's get one more call in tonight. Let's go to Neptune Beach. Our good friend Papa Louie's on the line. What's up, Papa Louie?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
I hope everybody was safe.
No doubt. We were.
I was not safe Sunday. I felt very threatened.
Well, Tony, me and you never agree on almost anything, but I agree with you about Pete tonight. Total clown. Don't understand him. Throwing stuff out that's... Who knows what he's talking about? I was very upset at 6-3. Very upset.
You were
very upset about the whole offensive production. And I'm just wondering, what else can we do to fill that void of Allen Robinson? And I'm thinking running backs. I'm thinking get Grant out in the flat. Use Grant like a Derek Sproles. Get Fournette on a play action.
So, thank you, Papa Louie. I appreciate you agree with
not
me.
Not just a clown.
Go away, Papa Louie. You don't know what the hell you're talking
total
about.
Total clown, Pete. You are a total clown.
You know,
so I
guarantee you there are more fans agree with me than agree with you on this one, by the way.
I think getting Corey Grant more involved would be good. Get some more speed on the field, change things up. And that goes to what Pete's talking about, scheming some different ways up to get guys free and create big plays. And I think Corey Grant's a guy who brings that dynamic to this ball club, where you're limited, though, with him out there is in third down. If they blitz and he has to pick up, it can be an issue. But that's where you have to maybe scheme up some different protections. You get some scat protections where he's out of the backfield, the free releaser. So if they blitz, you can hit him immediately. I mean, there's different things you can do. But I think you're going to have to get creative. I do think that without Allen Robinson, you're going to have to get creative, because I really believe there's only one guy that they feel like is a playmaker that they trust, and that's Marquise Lee. And not that they trust Allen.
Close your eyes. You can envision Marquise Lee crossing the field.
They trust
him crossing the field.
You're terrible, Pete. They trust Allen Hurns, but, I mean, I think Allen Hurns is a guy who works great in the zone, good route runner, smart player. But if the team goes man, I think him getting separation has been a challenge.
Let's get one more call tonight from St. John's. Jason is on the line. What's up, Jason?
What's up, guys? Love the show, man. And Pete just got me over here scratching on the chalkboard. I mean, this guy, I called his show years ago when he had his own show. He swore Chad Heaney's the truth in Miami. You know, he just speaks to hear himself talk. But he's the only one happy here listening to himself.
He's a clown. He's a total clown. Total clown, total. John.
He is. Let's kick him off the show.
You know what? When I did my own show, I would have cut you off in about 2 seconds and said, good night, man.
Yeah, that's why you don't have your own show. Terrence don't even want to hang out with you.
No, I don't have my own show because I can't do it anymore, you fool.
Because you're smart. You're a fool, you little short.
Whoa, all right, that's enough.
Whoa.
That escalated quickly.
You know what? I miss my own show now because I used to cut those guys off in 2 seconds and tell them where to
go. Did they call you a smurf?
Wow.
Yeah, like that really bothers me.
Did we get the beep on that or did that go across the air?
It went. Oh, well.
That went out?
Well...
What did he say? I missed it.
We'll tell you another time.
Max, you didn't beep that quick enough.
He just got owned, though, is what just happened there, Tony. Unbelievable.
John, John, I mean, as much as I enjoyed that, you're going to have to be banned for 1 week.
Yeah,
that's a one-week game ban.
That's it.
I hope he enjoyed happy hour with his 14 cocktails he had on his way home. Hope he wasn't driving.
The commissioner is banning John for 1 week. Pete, you had a rough night. I'm going to tell you. You screwed up the PFF's grade section. And then you
aside from screwing up the PFF thing, and I admit I did that, I'm spot on the other thing. That guy, they just want to hear pom-poms being waved. That's all.
who's waving pom-poms tonight?
6-3. Me holding the helmet.
Besides
right off
JP
the field. Yes.
Waving the pom-poms for 6-3, who's waving pom-poms? Pete?
You are, as you always do.
Tonight, how am I waving? Give me one example of me waving a pom-pom tonight.
What? You said you were okay with 6-3
I never said that. You're the one who said they're happy. I said it was 6-3. We got the ball back, and you had a chance to go take a lead. I wasn't happy. I never said that.
Pete, this is one of your worst shows ever.
No, I'm right about this.
Right about what? What are you right about?
You know why? They went in the locker room. They went in the locker room and looked around at each other, and they go, you know what? The way we're playing and our style works. Look at it. It's 6-3. We're in the game. Our defense is playing great.
Wait, okay, let's go back. You're like deflecting now. You said I was waving pom-poms. What was I waving pom-poms about?
Being 6-3 at the half. You were happy about that. You were one of the happy guys.
I just said I wasn't happy.
You voted no earlier.
I voted no. Right. Pete, you are struggling tonight. Let's take a break.
Well, you wave the pom-poms because you won't say they quit.
I said the energy left the building. I said in the broadcast yesterday.
You
I
didn't
said
say
morning,
they quit, though.
No, because, I mean.
Do you think they quit?
No, I don't think they quit. I don't think anyone out there said, oh, I quit. I think they got down and got discouraged, and the energy left, and they didn't play very well. I do not think they quit, though. I don't.
But Tony, if the energy goes, what is that?
Well, I mean, I've been in situations.
Were they tired, or were they?
No, but I've been in games before where I didn't quit, but I start, you're struggling. It's an uphill battle. You think nothing's going your way.
Derrick Henry's running the ball at
you. And you don't play as well as you, and you get frustrated. And you know what? You look at the film and say, that's not very good. Not that I quit, but I wasn't playing at the level I wanted to, and I let the external factors influence the way I played.
I don't. Have you watched the 22? Have you watched the 22
yes.
tape?
Yes.
Did I have it? Have you seen anybody maybe not pursuing the ball like they did in the first half?
No. I think the only play
said on the screen pass.
Yeah, that's let me finish. The only play, and I can't. There's not one guy who stands out. I just actually by that point I was like ready to turn it off. But that screenplay, there was not a lot of guys flying down the field chasing that guy down. So that'd be the only one that would stood out.
What do I know? I'm just a beeping Smurf.
A total clown.
Total clown.
We'll come back. And
it was a rough night for Frisco.
We'll go around the NFL. Some results from yesterday. And speaking of guys, maybe
how about guy
quitting?
There was a guy who quit in Dallas yesterday.
Yes, you read my mind. We'll get to that when we come back. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco down in South Florida. Thanks for the calls tonight. Thanks for the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night. We'll get back to you guys next week. It's time to go around the National Football League. We start off in Denver, where the Broncos handled the Cowboys 42-17. The bigger story, though, is Ezekiel Elliott. 9 carries for 8 yards. And there was a clip out on Twitter today of him during an interception return standing there. What do you say about Ezekiel Elliott, Pete?
That wasn't a good look. And he was clearly frustrated by not getting the ball. He was clearly frustrated at them not running the ball. But you got to play through the whistle. I mean, come on, you can't give up. And I'll give you another one. On a 4th down play later in the game, Dez Bryant jogged a route that was so obvious it was ridiculous. And then after the game, Jason Garrett kind of called out Dak Prescott, which is another bad look, you know, publicly called him out. So not a good look for the Cowboys all the way around. Not a good situation. They got dominated by Denver. They couldn't move the football. And Denver loaded up against the run, dared them to throw it. They couldn't throw it. They lost the game. Now they got to go on the road next week and play Arizona on a Monday night, which is not going to be easy, even though the Cardinals haven't played very well.
Yeah, the Cardinals are not very good right now, Pete. I mean, look at that Indy game. We'll get into that maybe a little later, but they're not playing well. But the Dallas Cowboys are the Dallas Cowboys. This is what they do. They have controversy. They have ridiculous things that happen.
It's never easy.
It's never easy to get guys suspended. It's not the most disciplined group. Poor Jason Garrett sitting in the middle of it trying to play traffic cop. Somebody needs to be in that locker room. I don't know who the leaders are. If it's Jason Witten, if it's one of the linemen, if it's a defensive player, who it is, I have no idea. But that's just not acceptable. I mean, you can't just stand there and not try to go chase and make a play. It's not a good look. It's not a good look for Ezekiel Elliott. The only person it looks bad for is him. He looks bad. And a veteran needs to grab
him. I'm with you, Tony.
A veteran needs to grab him and say, listen, Ezekiel, you're a great player. Man, we need you. One of the best backs in this league. If you don't want to help us,
help
yourself, because you're the one who looks bad.
Right, but also you would think a guy who got a reprieve from a suspension would be excited to be on the field for any play and play like it, right? I mean, you know, this is a guy that everybody says he's got to change his attitude and change everything. Well, this is another example of a bad attitude on a football player. You can't quit. You just don't quit. As much as anything I hate in this league, it's guys who don't give 100%. I can't stand that. And that was, you know, watching that was kind of like, ugh, it was gross. And then I went back and watched some more, and that's when I saw Dez Bryant jogging his route.
Was the word coming out of Ohio State that Ezekiel Elliott was a problem, Pete?
Was no, there any, I don't know if
any like, mention
they had
of that?
Issues there at Ohio State, but yeah. And then there was also the issue of, you know, the Cowboys thought he was – somebody told me that the Cowboys told Dak Prescott to kind of stay away from him and not hang out with him. And so, yeah, you. I mean, that if somebody tells you to be careful of a teammate, then there's an issue there. Now, whatever the issue is, he likes to go out or whatever, then there's a concern. And, again, I go back to what I said on draft night. At some point, the Cowboys – it might be not this year, it might be not next year, maybe 4 years down the road when he's got – you know, too much tread on the tire, they're going to look back and say, boy, we wish we had drafted Jalen Ramsey.
Well, the interesting thing about that is Dak looked pretty ordinary, Pete. I didn't see the whole game. I saw parts of it, but he looked pretty dang ordinary.
But up until Sunday, he hadn't, though, Tony. So, and I always say, and you know what's funny? Because I always say this, and we talk about it a lot. Does a quarterback play above not having the run game? You know, in other words, when the Packers haven't had a run game, Rodgers has played above it. When Breeze hasn't had a run game, he's played above it. Phillip Rivers hasn't had a run game at times, he's played above it. You know, can he play above the without having that run game? That's the question.
That's the question because he never had to do it last year.
Right. I'm with you. You know, some people said that was a show-me game for Dak. Well, he showed you there's a little bit of concern now as he goes to week three.
We've seen some issues here without a run game and the quarterback having to throw it. You mentioned the Cardinals-Colts game. Cardinals win at 16-13. The Colts are now 0-2. Brissett threw up a 60.2 rating yesterday for Indianapolis.
Better than Scott Tolzien. I mean, that team's not going anywhere without Andrew Luck. And I'm telling you.
They might not go anywhere with Andrew Luck.
Well, I'm telling you right now. There's more to the whole Andrew Luck shoulder than anyone's letting on. I mean, the word is, Pete,
terms of how bad it is?
Yeah, how bad it is. I've heard he's still barely throwing. And the only reason – some people are saying the only reason they didn't put him on the PUP list is because they didn't want to be answering questions about him not being ready for 6 weeks.
Well, they've already ruled him out for this week.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you're the national guy. I've heard he's not barely even throwing.
I've heard he's not throwing that well either, and I also have heard there's been some animosity between the two sides because he even had the surgery. But, you know, you don't know if that's true either.
I mean, is this a career-ending surgery for him? I mean, is this something he does not come back from?
No, I don't think it's to that extent, but it might be something that you need to rest him. And if they stink this year, don't play him.
Right, if they're 0-7.
If they get to the point where they're 0-7 or whatever, don't play him at all. Let him sit out the whole season.
If you're Andrew Luck, would you demand a trade the way they've built that roster?
It's almost impossible to trade him with that contract, though, Tony. It would be almost impossible.
Why?
Because all that money would accelerate and everything, you know, the bonus acceleration would go into the contract. It's too big.
So if let's say he was traded to a team that could afford the salary cap, his yearly number, it all goes to 1 year for the team that's trading him?
The amortization of the bonus does. So, for example, let me look and see. I'll find his contract. But yeah, so it would be a big hit for them. And you know, this is a relatively new contract, so it's not like it has 2 years left on it. So, yeah, it would be.
I thought the amortization went with the.
He's got 1, 2, 3, 4 more years left on the deal, and the bonus breakdown. Yeah, it would be.
Well, I thought it went with him. I thought a trade. I know if you cut him, it all gets amortized. But I thought if you traded him, the amortization went to the new club.
No, it amortizes. It amortizes. It goes to the team.
Oh, okay.
Could there be a coaching change if things are going really south?
Oh, they won't. I don't think they'll fire him. I mean, he's not making it past this year. I mean, he's dead man walking. I mean, I've known him since.
I've known him since I was a kid.
I played for his dad in high school, so I mean, I love him, but he's dead man walking.
Yeah, he's done.
I mean, I almost get the feeling they've set him up to fail.
Yeah, and so in the organization's eyes, don't risk Luck any further injury. Get the coach out of there. Start fresh next year. Could be the case. Who knows? We'll see. Moving ahead here. The Patriots are back. Brady, 447, three touchdowns. Gronk went in the medical tent at some point in the game. It says he's fine. Patriots are back.
I had Brady for my fantasy pick, so that's all I care about.
It's a good pick.
I mean, were they ever gone?
No.
I mean, did anyone think that? I mean, come on.
No, but you had concerns about their defense, though.
I still do.
I do, too.
I don't think New Orleans is any good.
Well, they didn't have either starting tackle. Zach Street didn't play. Terron Armstead didn't play. So everybody in New England, oh, look, they got pass rush. They're playing against the backups. Of course you're going to get pass rush.
Remember at practice in New England?
I'm still concerned about their defense.
Yeah. Remember at practice in New England, Tony? Sorry to interrupt you, Pete. We were watching the pass rush drills.
Yeah, I told you they
every
have,
day.
I told you they didn't have one.
Didn't have one then.
They're going to still win 12 to 13 games, and they'll still have home field. They'll still have probably the home field advantage in the playoffs.
Correct.
And they're going
to nobody will beat them in the playoffs in New England.
And they're the favorite to go to the Super Bowl.
Pittsburgh doesn't beat them in the playoffs in New England. They just won't.
unless Pittsburgh can somehow get 13, 14 wins and get home field. Or the Chiefs. The Chiefs are pretty good, I think. I think that's a dangerous team.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh hasn't looked that good on offense yet either.
Well, that's what I said. I said the Chiefs are pretty I think the Chiefs right now are the second best team in the AFC.
You might be right.
The Dolphins got a win over the Chargers. Lawrence Timmons, though, went AWOL. They found him at LAX about to go home.
What happened there, Pete?
It was a personal issue. I mean, you know, guys have personal stuff in their life. I mean, should he have gone AWOL? No, but maybe it was something to the point where it was so important to him that he left. And look, you have family, Tony, and JP, you have family. You don't have an immediate, you don't have kids or anything, but when something happens, you react to it, and you do it. But you probably should do it in a different way, like go to coaches and say, most people would be understandable about that. And let you go. So I don't know exact specifics of it. I did hear today that it was a personal issue.
A streak of 100 games played or something.
Like 101. Yeah. And I don't want you to say it, Pete, but is there rumors out there what the personal issue was or is?
No. I was listening on radio in South Florida today, and I don't know what it is, but let's just say it might be medical, too. You know, you hear. Maybe it's medical. I don't know.
What I mean, San Diego lost. How about San Diego losing two games because they can't make a field goal?
Los Angeles, first of all, not San Diego.
Oh, the Chargers, wherever they are. Chargers could be 2-0, and they're 0-2 because they don't have a field goal kicker who can make a kick.
But they also didn't handle the end of that game very well. They got down there and then decided to try and set up the field goal
instead of trying to score a touchdown.
Instead of trying to get about 10 more yards, they can make it a more manageable field goal. I mean,
44 though, Pete. Well. 44 in this league you've got to make.
I agree, he's got to make it. But would it be a lot easier if it was 34?
Agreed. No, I'm not disagreeing. But you can't miss that.
Miami gave him a little bit of a break. Miami called timeout when Los Angeles didn't have any more timeouts, and Rivers was waving the field goal team off the field to try and spike it to do it that way, and it was a disaster. They would have got it. They would have spiked it and got the playoff. But Miami called timeout and let them regroup.
Yeah.
Not good. And by the way, how about the USC Trojans outdrew both the Rams and Chargers combined?
I said it from the beginning. LA does not need two professional football teams. They will not support two professional football teams. San Diego should have stayed, or Los Angeles Chargers should have stayed in San Diego. And I don't think it's going to work long term with two teams in Los Angeles. I just don't.
I'm with you, Tony. I just don't see it. I didn't see when I was out there for training camp and they were both practicing against each other. yeah, they had a lot of people there, but the next day when they were practicing, it just didn't seem like the passion was there. And you know, some people say that those teams are the second and third team in the market because most of those people are still Raiders fans from when the Raiders played there.
Well, no, I mean, but if you look at, let's say, sports teams in L.A., let me list the teams that are ahead of them. The USC Trojans, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Los Angeles Clippers, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Los Angeles Angels are all bigger than those two teams. Now, they can overcome the Clippers and the Angels, but the Dodgers and USC, they're never going to, unless they go to a Super Bowl, they're not going to be ahead of them.
Right. Right. If they go to a Super Bowl and have a winner, they will be bigger than USC.
Yes. No doubt. The NFL is bigger than college football, Pete. No doubt about it. But right.
Even
now,
in L.A., if you have a winner, and particularly in L.A., if you have a winner, it would become the biggest thing out there because of the trendiness of it.
Until
and
they lost.
You'd be seen as a team. Right.
But no, you're right. But to have two? I don't understand the two teams there.
Because, Tony, contrary to what you think, when USC plays a bad football team, there's 50,000 people in the college.
No. No, I'm just telling you right now. If USC plays a bad team, there are 65,000 there. If they play a good team, there's 85,000.
For the Texas game, there were
there was 87,000 there.
Yeah, okay.
But if they play a bad team, it's 65. Still more than the Rams for an NFL game. It's not even close.
How much are tickets to an SC game? Do they vary?
I have no idea.
Depending on
that. I couldn't tell.
Well, the tickets to the Chargers games are outrageous, supposedly.
It's like a 30,000-seat stadium.
There's only 27,000 seats.
The parking is 100 bucks.
When USC played Utah State in 2016, they had 62,000.
That's what I just said, Pete. I said 65. That's 62. Sorry. It's about the same.
And they didn't go over 80 in any of their home games that year in 2016.
Who'd they last year?
Yeah, ASU 71,000, Colorado 68, Oregon 74, and Notre Dame 72. So
I guarantee you Notre Dame was more than 72. Guaranteed.
Ooh. I'm reading the numbers right here. 72,
they're
Tony.
They're wrong. They didn't sell 87. Or 86 to Texas last weekend, and only have 72 at Notre Dame. I guarantee it.
I don't know.
But that was at the end of the year. Notre Dame was bad, though, remember?
Doesn't matter.
Monday Night Football. The 1-0 Detroit Lions, after an explosion on offense in week one, they visit MetLife Stadium. And the 0-1 New York Football Giants, Odell Beckham Jr., back on the field tonight after the ankle injury. Who you got?
Is there a reason you completely changed how you were talking and reading and how this pace?
Always do that. It's a tradition.
My goodness, that was obnoxious.
It's Monday night.
Usually it's not that obnoxious. Monday night. Golly.
Well, who you got?
Slow down.
Answer the question.
I can't even remember who's playing after the way you read that.
The Lions and the Giants.
Is Odell Beckham playing?
Yes.
That's all I want to know.
That's what they say.
Where's the game? MetLife?
Yes. You didn't pay attention to a word I said.
I couldn't focus the way you were reading it. I'm going to say the Giants. Although the Giants' offensive line's atrocious. But I can't see them going 0-2. How about that?
What I can't figure out is how the Jaguars coach is going to be in New York tonight to get honored at halftime.
He's going to probably fly a private jet up to New York and go get honored and then fly a private jet home.
Yep. They're honoring the 2007 Giants tonight at halftime, and so that place will be buzzing today. And I think with Becca back on the field, I just think the Giants, you know how desperation works in the NFL? They're in desperation mode. They have to win this game. I don't think the Lions are as good as people think they are. I think they find a way to win the game. I really do.
So Pete took the long road of saying the Giants.
The Giants. Yeah. You should have said the Giants. I was just
taking a shot. Cause I just think, how's the Jaguars coach game planning when he's up in New York?
He's not a coach. He's the executive vice president of football.
Oh, wait.
He signed a quarterback today. What do you want?
Yeah, he already did his job. We got Ryan Nassib, man. He was 9 for 10, 140 yards, one touchdown. I mean, what else do you want?
Pete,
some left-handed guy won a playoff game once, and he couldn't throw the ball from here to the wall, and it's right in front of me.
Pete, what do you got tonight? You got shows tonight? What do you got, podcasts now? You got all kind of new stuff, right?
Yeah, we do. We got 3-day-a-week podcasts. We got no shows. There's a bunch of stuff today. Tomorrow morning, got to shoot a bunch of videos and previews, and I'm not picking the Jaguars against the Ravens, by the way.
Shocking.
Even though you made
wow.
your lock.
Shocking. What? Who are you doing the Sorry podcast with? Since it's not me.
Locke and Fora and one of our hosts here, Nick Costas.
Wow.
Sorry for that. Yeah, it's great.
We'll get you on it. We'll promote your Hall of Fame candidacy one week.
Oh, there we go. I'll be a fan. I'll be a fan then, Pete.
Isn't that nice?
So we can irritate everybody else that runs away from me when I come running. Not Vaselli again!
I love it. I love Pete.
Pete, we'll talk to you next week. How about that?
We will.
Pete, we'll be in three different locations.
Pete, can you please do a better
job? Tony will be 2-1 when we talk next week.
That's right, Pete. We'll be 2-1, and I hope you do a better job because you were awful tonight, buddy.
Total clown.
No, I was great. And by the way, if it's 6-3, throw out the banners and streamers because they'll be happy about it if they have.
Raise the helmets going into the locker room. Pete Briscoe, CBS Sports. One final moment of Bocelli Zen when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Monday. Pete Briscoe out of here. We'll keep him from now on to the end of the show.
I like it like this better.
Do you really?
Get that clown out of here.
Total clown or Smurf?
Oh, Pete took a beating tonight.
He did.
I feel bad for him.
I kind of do too. But he'll have a chance to redeem himself next week when we're on two different continents doing this show.
Yeah, how are we going to do that? Have we decided?
I don't know.
Magic? Max is going to be on his A game. He's shaking his head back.
He's going to be well rested, coming back from the trip and everything.
He's already given up. He's like, I have no answer for this.
So we're going to have you in London.
I'll be in London.
Pete will be in South Florida, and I'll be in this HenneneAutos.com studio at Everbank Field.
So I'll be on the show. Let me figure this out.
You'll probably be on the phone.
I'll be on the show from 11 to 1 a.m.
Over there, yeah. So that's 6 to 8 plus 5 hours each, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be an expensive phone call for 2 hours. How are we going to work that?
No, don't point at me. You're the one working there for 10 days, making all this money.
Don't point at me. Yeah. You guys are calling the hotel. Landline.
I don't know about that, big boy.
No, the landline will sound better.
It's our dime, though. It's our dime. I don't know. It's a long way there.
What do we do over, can we do over Skype or something?
No, apparently.
Nobody wants to look at you.
What about over WhatsApp or something like that? I'll call on the internet phone.
You've been reading the memos going around the office, apparently, haven't you? So, final thoughts. We got a couple minutes left, right, Tony. You guaranteed a win this week.
I did. I feel good about it.
Why?
I think both defenses are really good. I think both offenses are going to struggle to score points. Like, we do have a little bit of an advantage of being in London, a little home field.
It's their first trip.
Being there, their first trip over there. And I think we'll score enough points and we'll force more errors by them than we'll make. So I think we're going to win.
Defense play a little better?
Oh, yeah, they'll play much better. I think if I was Todd Walsh, I would have had everyone in that room and said, you know what, we're just going to watch the third and fourth quarter.
That's it. Not the first and second. They played pretty good.
So let's just watch this. And then after I got done with that, and then I'd go pick about 10 really good plays from the first half, and say, this is who we are, not that. That'd be my
mind tricks.
Yeah, that would be my mind.
I'm already more excited for this game.
It's going to be great.
Thinking about that.
They're going to win.
Because I didn't run off the field with my helmet.
No, you did not. You were in here crying in your bowl of soup.
But boy, at halftime, I was happy. 6-3. Let's get a win in Wembley next week.
It'll be good. We're all heading over there. I head over there tomorrow. You head over there Thursday.
Yep.
We'll be hanging out at Big Ben.
Some other places, sure.
Riding the Eye of London.
Yeah, why not? We'll talk to you later. We'll see you in London. Tony Vaselli, Pete Briscoe, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, JP Shadrick. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.